The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and they, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I know that our SU team are going to do something with the kids, so if you'd like to be part of that, of those things that they are doing, then please, if any kids want to come and join them, you can head up the back, and they're going to go and do a few bits and pieces. And I don't know what you're doing, but anyway, they're doing exciting things, and I'm doing the talking at you thing, so you can do whichever one you would prefer to do. So I don't know how many kids we've got this morning, but you're welcome to join them. All right. So last night I was watching one of my favourite movies, actually. I don't know whether you know about it. Have you heard of the movie Hidden Figures? Yeah. So for those who've not heard of Hidden Figures, is a movie about three African-American ladies who were part of the NASA program. And those three ladies broke ground as colored people in a world which was segregated. At the time, there were still colored bathrooms, white bathrooms, colored water fountain, white water fountain, colored queue over there at the shop, white queue over there at the shop, very, very much segregated into color and white. And this one particular one of these ladies, it begins with her as a child, absolute genius with her maths, absolute genius. And she goes all the way through, does tertiary maths, does really well, and then she's working at NASA in the computer department. Now, that's before they actually had the machine. The women who were doing the counting were called computers. So, and they need a new computer over at the main building. Now, all of the colored ladies have been kept in another building doing their computing and adding up all the various numbers for them and checking and double-checking the maths. And all of the white ones are in another building. And the other building is the main building, and this one lady is asked to go, she's been reassigned, go over to the other building, and because they need a computer. So over she goes. They needed someone who could do trigonometry. I couldn't do trigonometry if I tried, but anyway. So she went over there and quickly found that there were no colored bathrooms because all the white people were over there. So when she wanted to go to the bathroom, she had to run across the campus, right across the campus, all the way over to the colored building so she could go to the bathroom. And then, of course, she had to run all the way back again. And eventually, because she's away from her desk for so long, when she has to run across campus, because she's wearing heels and a skirt, so she can't even use a bike, because in those days, that's what they expected as the uniform. Eventually, she returns bedraggled one day, having run in the rain, and the leader of the section that she's in, who happens to be basically the head of NASA at the time, says, "Where are you? Why weren't you here when I needed you?" And, of course, she loses the plot, as you do when you've been stretched to the limit. She says, "Well, I'm sorry if I have to use the bathroom." And there are no colored bathrooms in my building, so I got to go over there. And he thinks about it for a few moments, and then he goes off with his sledgehammer and he takes down all of the signs on colored bathrooms and says, "We're all the same color at NASA." These three women were instrumental in the NASA program, and in fact were so instrumental that history records that Apollo 11 and the earlier ones would not have got off the ground without the things these three women did. And their names are preserved at NASA, and there is now a building named after the lady who had to run to the bathroom across the other side. Why is Epiphany such an important celebration? Why do we do this thing called Epiphany? Why do we get all excited about the wise men visiting Jesus? What is it about? 12 days of Christmas, the last day is the 6th of January, which is tomorrow, but we're close enough, and we celebrate this thing called Epiphany. And of course, Epiphany is a word which means an appearing or a revelation. So the feast is the feast of the Epiphany, and its official name is the Epiphany to the Gentiles. There's your clue. So the people of Israel were separated from others in order to be God's chosen people. They were chosen out of all of the nations of the world through Abraham and set apart by God. Not that they would sit there and become the very, very special ones and nobody else is special, but they might be a light to the nations around them, so that their obedience to the one true God would show other people who this one true God is. And so that there would be a line of people who would become God's instrument to bring into the world a Messiah, a Savior who would in the long run bring all nations together under his banner. That was the plan, and it's all through the prophets, all the way through the prophets. There are so many references. Of course, today's Old Testament reading, which we didn't read, begins, "Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." And this is a prophecy about Israel's light to the nations and those who will come from all over to bring gold and frankincense to the Lord. Now, because of the separation, because of this separation, which was to keep God's people in a space where the Son of God could be born amongst them, that was really the plan. Because of this separation, there are things which made them very separate, and we know those things. One of those things was a wall that was in the temple. Now, in the temple, there was an outer court called the Court of the Gentiles. So if you are not a Jew or of Jewish blood, you're a Gentile, full stop, that's it. Doesn't matter whether you're white, black, yellow, pink with purple polka dots. If you're not of Jewish blood, you're a Gentile. So probably most of us sitting here are Gentiles. And the Gentile was simply not able to enter the Holy of Holies. They were not able to enter the holy space. But God, when he ordained the temple, made an outer court for the Gentiles to still come. That outer court was always there. It's where they set up all the tables for the trading in the temple. And of course, it's where Jesus got angry at them and threw out the tables for trading, because that was actually a court given that Gentiles may come and worship. And there was a wall, and the wall sat between that court and the rest of the temple, and on the wall it said, "Death to any Gentile who crosses this space." It was an absolute separation. If you're a Gentile, you can't go in there. Jesus is born. He is at home with his mother. She's still in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph are staying with Joseph's family. They are in a house now. The word that is used in Matthew is not the word you use for a stable. It's the word you use for a house. So they are in a house now, which means that Jesus is no longer sitting, the baby in the manger. We do put a wise man, so he's sitting there at the crib, but actually he's not at the crib. He's a little bit older. He's growing up, but he's not yet 2 years old. And how do we know that? We know that because the wise men told Herod when the star appeared, and when Herod decided to try and wipe out the king of Israel before he got a chance to be king, and sent his soldiers to wipe out every child in Bethlehem, every man child in Bethlehem, every boy under 2 years old. So we know that Jesus is under two at this stage. But he's no longer a babe in a manger. They are in the house, and he is there with his mother. And along come three men. These are magi. The word that is in there is magi. It gets translated wise men. Often people talked about three kings. They're not kings. They are magi. We get the word magician from the word magi. They were the men of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were the people of Babylon. And so the men of the Chaldeans, these people studied the stars. They studied all of the things which were to do with the mysteries of the universe. And a long time before this, a long time before Jesus was born, a good 500 years before, the people of Judah were put in exile to Babylon. And amongst the people of Judah sent to Babylon in exile was a guy whose name we know, who ended up in the lion's den, Daniel. Okay. So Daniel became the leader of the Magi with the Chaldeans of Babylon. How did the Magi know to come looking for a Messiah, looking for the one who would be there to be worshipped as king and God? Well, actually, God set that up in Babylon 500 years before. This, I believe, is why, and in fact, research and archaeology back this up, that these are the Magi of Chaldea, of Babylon. They have travelled looking for the child, which they have learned through the scriptures of the people of Israel who were amongst them for so long in exile, is going to come. These are Gentiles. They were going to the temple, they would be stopped at that wall. They cannot worship God in the Holy of Holies. And yet, on this day, these Magi, these Gentiles from a faraway nation, come all the way to the feet of Jesus and worship the King of Kings without barrier. You hear the wall falling? This is a feast because this is the day that the first Gentiles came to worship Jesus. And they were able to do that. The first people on the outside came to worship Jesus. And there was no barrier at the front door to them coming to him. They came to him. The Holy of Holies at the temple was supposed to be the dwelling place of God, but at this moment in time, the dwelling place of the Son of God is in a house in Bethlehem, and we don't even know which one. But there, the presence of God dwells in the Son of the Most High, and these men, we don't really know there's three of them, it's just that there were three gifts, so people sort of extrapolate. These men brought their gold. You give gold to kings. Their frankincense. Frankincense is the incense that is burned in the temple. That incense burned and the smoke going up into the heavens. Revelation tells us it is a representation of the prayers of the people rising to God. That's why they still use incense in many churches, because it's a representation of the prayers of the people rising to God. Frankincense represents worship. So we have the kingship, we have the worship, and we have the myrrh. What is myrrh? Myrrh is a very expensive herb. It's an ointment that is used. It could be used by very, very rich people sometimes, for a little bit of fragrance because they didn't bathe like what he did and people smelled a bit. And if you were rich enough, you could cover the smell. But most of the time, myrrh was used to embalm, to anoint the body of those who had died. So we have kingship, we have worship, and we have a precursor of this child's death. And these three or more wise magi from the east, from a nation which was the abject enemy of Israel, and they still are the nation where Babylon is Iran. These people who should be enemies come to worship the living God and are allowed in without barrier. Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, is writing to them about the effects of the death of the Son of God on the cross and the shedding of his blood for us, and of those effects, this good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus. He says, this is the reason that I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you've already heard the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote in a few words above. A few words above is a couple of chapters. A reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of this mystery. And what is the mystery? That is, he says in verse 6, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus. The Gentiles are no longer on the outside. Through the blood of Jesus, the wall came down, and nobody can rebuild it. Through the blood of Jesus, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. Before God, we are absolutely equal. Before God, all are welcome. All need to come. All need to have their sin forgiven. All need to have a place in the Lord. And the Lord, through Jesus, has made that possible. It is the equivalent of taking a sledgehammer to the sign that says, coloured here, and saying, we're all the same colour here. And we are all the same colour here. We are coloured with the Son of God, blood of Jesus. And not one of us is different to the others, even though we are different in our own lives and our own interests and everything else. Yet before the Lord God Almighty, we all have place in the Holy of Holies, and we are not stopped by anything forever. That's why this is a feast. That's why this is a celebration. That's why this is so important, because this is where we get the idea that all are created equal under God and all are welcome. That's where we get it. It's quoted in a lot of people who like to quote the American quotes from people like Martin Luther King, but it came from here. We're all welcome. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, it doesn't matter what colour you are, it doesn't matter where your past is, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what any of those things, none of them matter. When you want to come to the Holy of Holies, if you come through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can come all the way in. And there are no barriers. And that is an eternal truth now. And no one can take it off you when you believe in Jesus. That is an absolute miracle. It is an amazing thing. It is a beautiful thing because we are fellow heirs. We have the same inheritance. We are members of the same body. We are sharers in the promises of God. And all God's promises are yes and amen. There is no difference. There is no war. You are all welcome. The wall is gone. The signs have come down. And we all have Jesus. Let's take that good news to the people who don't know it yet. That is the point, is it not? Amen.